Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody, the name of Jesus is higher than cancer, is higher than heartbreak, is higher than any disease. Just speak in tongues if you know how to speak in tongues. Get ready to be blessed.
Higher than all the names we've been hating. Higher than all the names. Whatever feet away.
miracle in your name. Miracle in your name. The oasis and tongues in the name. Lift up your hands and bless the name of the Lord. All things are possible in the name. All things are possible in the name. Oh, the name has been given unto over our families, over the jobs, over the homes. Lift up your hands and say, Jesus, the name above all names. I've already put in some situations. I pull many health situations. Take it on. That name is Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus over my family. Jesus over deliverance. Jesus. Oh,
yeah. Who
Ready to be praised. I'll praise you greatly and all the earth. Father, you
doing your name.
him to bow before your throne. Sing hallelujah. Heaven and earth to pray. Him to bow before. Sing hallelujah. Lift your voice. Heaven and earth.
God, we lift up our voice and we sing hallelujah this morning. For truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad, we are exceedingly glad, because the Lord has granted us one more day in the land of the living. Hallelujah. God, we praise God this morning for being here, allowing us to be here this morning, to be in the land of the living. Truly, God has blessed us to be here, and we are excited because there's many that were here on yesterday in the land of the living, but they're no more here. They're not here this morning. They have crossed over into another dimension, and we are still in the land of the living. We are on this side of the grave. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's enough to give him praise. Some people don't want to praise him, but I got to praise him. Hallelujah. Got to praise him every opportunity that I get. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't let no one stop you from praising God. People will try, but don't let anyone stop you from praising God. Let me check this Bluetooth here for a minute. Make sure that we are on. Hallelujah. We are connected. We are in there. This morning, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this opportunity. We pray your blessing upon this line, that you would touch everyone that would come to hear the word, those that are listening near and far. We pray for Africa, we pray for India, we pray for Syria, Iraq and Iran, Afghanistan and Pakistan. God, we pray for Jerusalem, we pray, Lord God, for Judah. Lord, we pray for all all the nations, France. Oh, God, we pray for Amsterdam. We pray, oh, God, for Brazil. We pray for Denmark and Amsterdam. Lord, we pray for, oh, God, the Philippine Islands, for Italy. Lord, for all the Caribbean islands, for Canada. Lord, we pray for the world this morning. We ask you, oh, God, to rain on the world this morning righteousness, oh, God. Father, we had a touch of the storm this morning. It's still raining, and it's supposed to get heavier. The winds was very heavy this morning, but so far we haven't heard of any deaths yet. But we are praying that, God, you would hold back the death angel this morning, that no one will die in this here United States from the storm or hurricane. Lord, we pray right now that you bless my eyes, my ears, and my lips of clear, that I might see, hear, and speak your word with clarity, O God. As I talk about repentance this morning, repent while you still have a chance, because the next hour, the next day, they are not promised to anyone. You know, we say, well, I'm going to repent tomorrow, or I'm going to repent when I have time. You know, we say all these fancy things. It sounds really eloquent. I'm going to do all this stuff when I have time. But who knows when you will have time? That while you are speaking, your number could come up in heaven and say, well, he's taking you out this world. He's going to move you out of this world. What you going to do? You can't go back and say, well, I should have done this then. No, you got to do it now while you have a chance. You got to repent now. You got to repent and ask God for saving grace, for mercy. So we want to go in here and talk about repent while you still have a chance. And we're going to start in Acts 2 and 38. And you all know the scriptures. We just want to put something on here this morning, and then we're going to get out of here. Okay? Acts 2 and 38 says, Peter said, then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Sins, S-I-N-S, that means many sins. You have many. We all have many, not just one sin. But repent for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, it's so important. What is repentance? Repentance is turning from whatever you were doing that is contrary to the word of God, to the instructions of God, and turning to what God requires. Many of us find it very difficult to let go and let God. But Peter make a very strong statement here, because the people were trying to edify Peter and John, but not in the way that God say. They were trying to boost Peter and John like it was them that was doing the miracles. And Peter had to let them know. He had to give them a stern rebuke that we didn't do this stuff. When you get to Acts chapter 4, you see he talking to the people. He's talking about this same miracle that had taken place. You know, and he's saying, look, don't you all put us up, because it's not us. All the stuff that we're doing because of the same Jesus that you crucified, the same Jesus that you reject. So now Peter come here, he's telling them, because the scriptures, if you know that the Jewish people read from the right to the left, that's why you will get chapter 4 seeing what chapter 2 is saying. You understand? So they read from the right to the left. We read from the left to the right. So Peter said, no, but you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to repent and turn from your wicked ways. You have to repent. This means we have to let go and let God. And it's very hard. I'm going to just tell you the truth. I know before I get a clear understanding of what I was required to do, it was hard for me to let go of my lifestyle, the lifestyle I was living. I don't know why. I don't think I'm the only one who would like that. But I know when we first came in, let me talk about me. When I first came into Christ and came back to the church, because I was always in the church as a young man, but the church was never in me. I was always going there because my mama wanted me to go. But I was not there for myself. But when I came to the United States and get an understanding and got baptized in Jesus' name, I realized I had to do a lot of stuff, and it was very hard for me. I would still get high on Friday and Saturday night and go to church building on Sunday morning. Because I didn't understand that I had to let go of all that I was doing. And you understand? I had to totally let go. And I realized that when I would go in, the Holy Ghost would be moving. And I would say it moving. But the Holy Ghost, the outpouring of the oil of heaven, would be in the midst of the people. I could see people just standing there. They'd be sitting, standing up. of whatever, and all of a sudden this burst out in this crying and snorting and all kind of stuff. And I didn't understand that the Holy Ghost was touching them, but he wasn't touching me. And I asked the Holy Spirit a question. I said, why are these people can experience this anointing, but I can't? And he told me straight up, he said, because your temple is dirty. Your temple is dirty. And he said, I don't dwell in no unclean temple. You have to repent and you have to really give your heart to me. I said, wow, man. I started bust out crying. I was just crying. I wasn't crying because the Holy Ghost touched me. I was crying because I was convicted by what the Lord says. And I wanted to tell you all, keep Sister Anna in prayer. She sent me a text yesterday. She lost one of her, I think she said a cousin or something died, a young person died from this COVID virus. So keep her in prayer, okay? Keep her in prayer. Now let's go. We're talking about the message that we are releasing today that the Lord gave me on last night is repent while you still have a chance. Repent while you still have a chance. And we are moving by the Holy Spirit. I don't have any notes to this. I'm just going as the Holy Spirit give me utterance. And I just did Acts 2 and 38. So let's go to Matthew chapter 3. And I really wanted to do the third verse there, but we're going to start at verse 1. Okay? It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. See, Isaiah in chapter 40 and 3, and Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4 to 6, and he's speaking about Jesus. And you know, a lot of times people say, well, they don't recognize Jesus in the Old Testament, but he's all over the book. He's from Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah. Remember, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. He's the Word, and he was in the beginning. He was from the beginning. He is still here now. He's in the middle, and he's going to be at the end. When the last trumpet sound, he's going to show up again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have to preach this word, this word of repentance and the kingdom of God, because we find out that people don't understand that God is coming for a kingdom. The kingdom is his people, the ones that are filled with the Holy Ghost, the ones who have submitted their life, their hearts, soul to him, and decide to live a holy life, a righteous life, a life that edifies him, that glorifies him, a God that magnifies his name. He's coming back for them. That's his kingdom. He's not coming back for the mountains and the valleys and coming back for the land and the ocean. He's not coming back for that stuff, because he said all that stuff is going to pass away. You understand what I'm saying? All that stuff is going to be a new heaven and new earth. All that stuff is going to pass away. But he's coming back for a kingdom that don't have no blemish. That's the church, his church. Not these churches that men have that is all sanctified, have the spotlights and have all this stuff going to make them look good. He's not coming back for that. He's coming back for a glorified church. A church that is washed in the blood, a church that has repented, a church that has turned from the worldly lifestyle. He's coming back for that. This is what Jesus is coming back for. So what is he saying to us this morning? He's saying that we got to get our hearts right. God is doing some things for us. As a matter of fact, he has done some things for us. But now there's things that we and only we can do. He's not going to do them for us. Some things he's done. And other things we got to do. There's things we got to do. A lot of times we are counting on God to do everything for us like we are some handicapped child. No, God said you're no longer handicapped because I deliver you from your handicap. Your handicap was your sin that had you in bondage, but you're no longer in sin. You're no longer walking in sin. That's why I don't understand how people say I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, I was. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer operating. My flesh is still a sinful flesh. My flesh is still the DNA of my flesh. That flesh still has that sinful nature. Let me say it that way. That flesh has the sinful nature. That's why Satan is constantly tempting us with stuff that he knows the flesh likes. But as long as I continue to feed my spirit every day, even if I'm preaching or not preaching, as long as I am hearing the word of God to feed my spirit, Satan will be able to activate my flesh. Because I know you all say, how can he activate your flesh and you're saved? Well, how did he activate your flesh? He activated our flesh with thoughts. I think I heard Bishop James say that last week. He put thoughts in your mind. He can't touch you, but he can put a thought there. And then it's up to us if we activate the thought. Well, she looks fine. Satan said, look at her. She's checking you out, man. She's looking at your muscles. She's looking at your haircut. Oh, she's looking at your suit. Look at him, man. He's checking you out, girl. He's smelling your fragrance, smelling your perfume. Pass close to him, let him smell you. Satan is doing these things. This is how he does. And then you say, you look at her, you say, but she's checking you out. No, you want to check her out. One and one make two. It takes two people to tangle. It takes two people to crawl. Hallelujah. I tell when my wife used to act crazy with me, because I act crazy. I was crazy. And she would start making noise, because I didn't do right by her. And when she started to come, and sometimes even hit me, you know, I would go to the house. Why? Because she ain't going to stay in the house and crawl by herself. Anytime you see somebody crawling by themselves, guess what? You will see the crazy wagon come and get them. That means they're insane. Ain't nobody going to fuss by themselves. You just get up the house and go. Come back when the water's clear. So here, in this book here, the Bible says that John is preaching. John is preaching his repentance for the kingdom of God, getting the people ready for when Jesus comes. We got to do the same thing. We got to preach this repentance message and let the people's behalf be convicted, even if they get mad at us. If you jump from there, see how he jumps all over the place? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. We're talking about repent while you still have a chance. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. I don't care who you are. I don't care how well you preach, how well you sing, how well you play the organ, the keyboard, or whatever, drums, saxophone, hallelujah. Don't care how well you do it. Tomorrow's not promised to you. Don't matter how much money you have in the bank, tomorrow's not promised to you. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourself from all your transgressions, not some. Hear what God is saying. God is speaking to the prophet Ezekiel, to Israel. The same word is for us. God is saying for us, stop playing church and be the church. Stop playing church and be the church. We think if we got the nicest robe and we got the best cross on our chest and we have the nicest apostle ring, a bishop ring, a prophet ring, a prophetess ring, and evangelist, you teacher, you know what I'm saying? We think that we fit in. And we walk with our chest pushed up because I'm the archbishop. I'm the chief apostle. I'm the apostle. I'm the evangelist. We can't even carry our iPad or a computer or a little briefcase. We got to have an armor bear carrying everything for us because we have arrived full of sin. And God is saying to the church, he said, look what he said to Israel. Therefore, I will judge you, O Israel, house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn your sons from your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be in your reins. Listen, iniquity should not be in your loins, in your reins, in your thoughts. Where does it is? Your reins represent your thoughts, your senses, your way of thinking. And God said, repent. See, we got to do this thing every day. He said, no, listen to what he says. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby not some, but all, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live, ye. God says you have a choice to make. Not you, forgive me. God's saying we have a choice to make. What's the choice we have to do? Turn from sin. sin looks good to each and every one that's sinning. It feels good, tastes good, smells good to everyone that's sinning. But God said the soul that sinneth shall die. Go back to, you're still in Ezekiel chapter 18. Go to verse 4, think of this. He said, behold, all, not some, all souls are mine. And the soul, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, God is not talking about the flesh. Because God knows that this flesh got to go back to the dust. We go back to Genesis. It says, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. We say that at the gravesite. Ashes you came from, and ashes dirt you came from, and dirt you'll go back. We can't. So God knows that with this flesh is going to die. Why? Because this flesh is contaminated. Hallelujah. This flesh picked up the same stuff from the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. This flesh is not the same flesh, my God, that God made when he made Adam and Eve. This flesh became contaminated, sinful, so this flesh got to go back to the dirt where God brought it from. Hallelujah. But the soul is what God is concerned about. This is why God is saying we need to repent while we still have a chance. And folk can run around with their chest up like they arise. Listen to what he said. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. God is speaking to us. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Listen to what he says. From that time, Jesus began to preach to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From what time? From the time that Jesus came and was baptized by John the Baptist. Hallelujah. He began to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? Because the anointing is people getting to understand the kingdom. The anointing is there. When you get to understand what the kingdom of heaven is here on earth, you begin to think different, live different, be different. We stop being judgmental. We stop being critical of each other. We stop looking down on each other unless we want to pick them up. Folk will look down at you and turn their eyes up like the Levite and the priest and the Good Samaritan. We are crossed over to the other side, God. We think that we arrive. We think that we have it. Let's go up to verse 1 in the same chapter. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter, the devil, that's the devil, Satan, came to him and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I want you to see something here. We all know it's called, most of us on this land that can preach, have preached this message before. That the devil going to catch you right after you finish fasting. And a matter of fact, he might catch us while we are in the midst of fasting. Because you know while we are fasting, we are breaking some chains. We are breaking some bonds. Understand? It is going to come and test us. What do we have to do? We have to stay flat-footed on the word of God. Flat-footed, solid on the word of God. We cannot compromise because whatever he's showing us look good. The Bible says, he tested Jesus right after Jesus was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. But see, Jesus was just baptized by John the Baptist, going into a fast. Hallelujah. Well, from tomorrow morning, the Lord said the same. I'll go back on doing my Holy Commune from tomorrow morning. The Lord said yes last night. From tomorrow morning. See, we got to put ourselves in tune with what God requires so that we can become who God wants us to become. Go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I just want to give you a couple of verses here, a couple of things this morning before we get over here because we have to get something. Don't care what happened. See, yesterday the preacher didn't send me no know nothing. So I had to come on and do, put a word up on the site, because got to do what got to be done. 17:3, Luke 17:3, Jesus speaking, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. No. For us, this is very hard for us to do. You know that most people don't even want to forgive you one time. One time. And if they forgive you for what you have done to them, they say, well, I forgive her, I forgive him, but I sure ain't going to forget what he did to me. Well, you don't forgive that person, but you see you love the Lord. We say we love the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. We sing that song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And we sing the song. But then when our brothers and sisters sin against us, we can't forgive them with the love of Christ. We say, I'll forgive them. But in the end of telling, we say, I ain't going to forget. You might not speak it out loud there before them, but you tell somebody, tell your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, you say, I'll forgive them, but I ain't forget what they did to me. And you hear a lot of Christian folks say that. They don't even know that they're giving the devil entrance to their heart to use them against that very person when that person comes. Jesus said, if your brother sins seven times in a day against you, you got to forgive him. You got to forgive him. But the first thing you do, you rebuke him. That's what Jesus says. It's hard for us sometimes to rebuke people, because we're so soft sometimes. But Jesus said, you got to rebuke them. Let them know what they did wrong. Let them know. You just don't forgive. Say, let them know, brother, you know you did this to me and it hurt me. It hurt me. I want you to know you hurt me. But I forgive you. I forgive you. With the love of Christ, I forgive you. I forgive you. And that's from the center of my heart. Tell them. We can't tell them. Jesus says, if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, or I'm not going to do that again. That's what he's saying. But in our mind, what we say, well, yesterday you told me you did it to me, and yesterday you told me you're not going to do it again, but now here comes you doing it again. Jesus said, it doesn't matter. Jesus said, it does not matter. You got to forgive them. We got to forgive them. Listen what he says. Go to Matthew chapter. You're in Matthew chapter. Go back to Matthew chapter 3. Let's start at verse 1. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 3. And let's start at verse 1. I have to go how the Holy Spirit is leading me. So, you know, we did a couple of verses then before, but let's go back there. The Lord said, go back. In those days came John the Baptist. I want to let you know that his last name was the Baptist. He was John the Baptist, the one that baptized. See, he wants you to know that, because a lot of people think his last name was John, it was Baptist, but no. The Bible don't tell his last name. But they call him the Baptist because he was the one that baptized. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment or his clothes of camel hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. He wasn't eating prime rib. He didn't have salt bread steak. He didn't have hamburgers. He didn't have chicken legs and chicken tights. Listen what he was eating. Locusts and wild honey. He was a humble man. He wasn't going down there and getting some lamb chops and stuff. Curry, golden rice. He didn't have no of that good stuff. He didn't went to the best restaurants. He was a humble man. He didn't dress in a fine robe like the preachers dress in today. Even some of the people in that time, they had some nice robes. John didn't have no robe like that. He was wrapped around with camel hair, a lantern, and a girdle about his loins. No, sis. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. See, John is in the Jordan River baptizing, and people are coming from everywhere. Why? Because the message that he's preaching. And he is not the kind of, he wasn't the kind of man that would compromise what he was hearing in the spirit. He heard that Jesus was coming in the spirit from God himself. And he was preaching this message, getting the people ready to receive this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords as he comes, as he entered. Hallelujah. John is preaching this thing. And he lost his head because when he talked to one of the governors about sleeping with his brother's wife, John did not hold his tongue back. It cost him his life. It cost him his head. We don't want to say certain things. And we can't say certain things because if we say certain things, our ministry will be shut down for a while. Guess what happened? They will shut us down here. They will put us in prison. Certain things you can't say. I know some things when I post on Facebook, they go in and I know it's the truth, but Facebook will come and say that they fact check it. They fact check lies. They lie. They come and say it wasn't the truth. There was no truth in what I post. I know it's truth because I researched it. And they come and say, because why? They don't want the truth to go forth. You can come up and you can speak a lie and post a lie, and they will let it stay on the program. They will let it stay on the page because this is the system that we're in. The media of all forms are controlling the world. He says, and they came and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, generation of snakes, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who tell you to go get baptized because the King of Kings is coming? And he's coming with vengeance. This is what he's saying to them. Who tell you to get your heart, your mind, body, and soul right? When folk is running around today, they don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want you to tell them about Jesus because guess what? They're not in that. They don't have that mindset. They don't want that. Even in the colleges, these kids are going to school. And they're learning all the science and stuff. You can't tell them. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They'll tell you to your face. They're 19, 20-year-old kids, and they tell you they don't believe in no God. They got earring in the nose, earring in the ear, earring in the tongue. I mean, suppose they swallow that thing, and that thing pierced their intestines, and the intestines begin to leak into their blood, into their bloodstream, and their blood gets contaminated. They die. But they'll go ahead and pierce their tongue 3 or 4 times. And then let a man hold, a woman hold their tongue, pull out and put a needle through their tongue so they can have a something in their mouth shining. The world is messed up, but they don't want to hear about Jesus. They take the life source, the navel, and they let somebody go and put the skin on their navel and pierce it with some silver stuff to put a needle. So it's when they got that little half cut shirt, people can see the belly button with a little ring sticking out their navel. But they don't want to hear about Jesus. And then when they get contaminated, they want everybody to pray for them. Their mama calling. They don't want nobody. Their mama calling, pray for my daughter, pray for my son. He's dying from the skin is, something is contaminated skin. His skin is being eaten, flesh eating bacteria. Jesus is the only way out. He says, bring forth therefore the fruit meat for repentance. John tell him, come forth. We need to come forth with love, compassion, mercy, grace, long-suffering, patience. Hallelujah. Forgiveness. We need to come forth with this fruit that is meat for repentance, suitable for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God, Jesus, is able to, of these stones, to raise up children unto Abraham. See, a lot of times what the Israelites and the Jewish people, the people from Jerusalem and Judea, the Israelites, a lot of times they would always try to tell the preacher that we are Abraham's children. We are the sons and daughters of Abraham. But John had the word. He knew the word, and he was just, oh my God, he was just cutting them with the word. Hallelujah. See, a lot of times we are trying to look and sound too highfalutin. God said, no, just the word. You don't have to have all the words from the dictionary. You don't have to have all the Greek and all the Hebrew. All you need to have the word of God. Just the word of God. Hallelujah. They look at John as an unlearned man, but John had the word. He had the touch from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He knew that Jesus was coming. Nobody knew he was coming. Because what the Holy Ghost was talking to John. John was hearing from heaven. He did not all the degrees like the other folks. He was a man that was sold out to the kingdom. No. Here, verse 10. Verse 10 says, And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit, it's hewed down and cast into the fire. See, we ought to be thinking this thing. This is in John chapter 15, verse 6. We got to get ready. We got to be ready. We got to be ready and willing to declare this truth all the time. All the time. Let people know that they can run around playing church, but if they don't repent and turn from their wicked ways, I don't care how big their church, the church building is. I don't care how big their Cadillac is. I don't care what their Lexus is driving or Bentley or whatever car they have, what plane, what jet, what helicopter they have. Hallelujah. How many homes they have in different nations, different countries? They're going to hell. Because hell is open its mouth wide. Hell, the mouth of hell is open wide. It's never full. It's never full. And the more that goes to hell, the more Satan going to look for. It's never full. It's never full. Kids are dying like fleas today. Dying like fleas. And nobody's saying anything. They're dying everywhere. Listen. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, talking about Jesus, whose fan is in his hand. And he will truly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Listen. The ones that don't want to listen. The ones that still want to continue in sin. They want to continue in disobedience. Hallelujah. Don't want to repent and turn from their wicked ways. You see, they'll burn them up. There's five signs of true repentance when a person can show you that a person is truly repentant. Number one, they are humble. I can't even understand my handwriting. Hallelujah. I wrote this stuff last night. Number one, they are humble. Oh, yeah. I got it now. There are five signs of a true repentant person. Number one, they are humble. They will be sad by what they have done and humble themselves. Number two, they will make it up to others. Number three, they'll accept the consequence of their faults for all their mistakes. Number four, they don't force people to forgive them because they know that they have hurt friends and foes, and they will wait patiently to be forgiven. Number five, they can feel the pain they have caused others. That is how you know that people are truly repent. They have truly repent for what they have done or said or done. When they can become humble enough to accept the consequence. When they can say, well, I feel the pain that I have brought to you. Not just saying it to get yourself forgiven, I forgive you. Or you accept them, but they'll accept their fault. Go to Mark chapter 1. We're talking about repent while there's still time. Repent while you still have a chance. Excuse me. Repent while you still have a chance. People are dying every day. I have my daughter in Georgia. She's fighting for her life now. Why is she saying, well, Daddy, I feel like I got a flu. But if you got the virus in your body, you're fighting. You got to use stuff. So I told her, I'm praying for you. You're going to come true. It's no joke. But she get the message every day. She don't get to go to church building, but she get the message every day from Blog Talk Radio. Don't matter who preaching. I don't just send her when her daddy preaching. I send her when whoever's preaching. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't care who preaches. I make sure I send the word to her page. Send to my grandsons too. Hallelujah. But here in Mark chapter 1, I hope you all can hear me because I had to change these headphones. These things are messing with me. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. This is what Jesus said. Not the apostle Mark is saying. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Hear what he's preaching. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. This is what he's preaching. The gospel is what Jesus is saying. He's not preaching about the cross. Even though we have to preach the cross is part of what we got to include in our message. The blood that was shed, we got to talk about the blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So we got to talk about the blood. We got to let people know that they got to get underneath the blood. But we have to preach about the kingdom because God is coming back for his kingdom. He is the king. He needs his kingdom. A king is no king if you don't have a kingdom. So what's the kingdom? It's the people. So we got to get the people ready. Let them know that they're the kingdom of God. And God is coming back for them and that they got to live right. They got to repent and they got to turn. They got to turn from the lifestyle that they're living. People say, I went to the altar and I bowed down at the foot of the altar and I prayed and I asked God to forgive me. I know I'm good. But then when you see him, you amazed. You say, well, I thought sister went to the altar in prayer. But they pray, but they haven't turned. You see, it's more than just praying. It's more than just saying the prayer of salvation. No, you've got to begin to live out the prayer of salvation. Faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. People got faith but no works. And people got works and no faith. You got to both have both of them. Faith and works. Works and faith. Hallelujah. So he says, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus began to walk this thing out, showing the people. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We stay around the gospels here for a little bit. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus is speaking to us, and he's saying something real, real. Thank you, deep. Let's start at verse 5. Matthew chapter 10. We're talking about repent while you still have a chance. These 12 Jesus, now we talked about this, he called the 12 disciples and he given them instructions to go out and preach the gospel. And their names are there, but we don't need them, the name right here now. We're going to go start at verse 5 of Matthew 10. And said, then these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritan, into you not. Jesus said, don't go to these folk. See, the word has got to go to the Jews first. Hallelujah. He sent the word of the kingdom of heaven and of earth to the Jews. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You'll see that in Acts 13 and 46, somewhere around there. He says, verse 7 says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, this is the gospel that they're preaching. This is what they're preaching. Jesus gave them the instruction what to preach. They could not preach the cross because he had not been crucified yet. They can't preach his resurrection because he had not been dead yet. He had not resurrected yet. And if he haven't died, he had not been crucified, he had not died, they cannot preach his death, burial, and resurrection. So that was not the gospel. The gospel is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. That's the gospel. That's what they were preaching. You understand what I'm saying? I'm making this thing. I hope you get this. I hope you're getting this. Verse 8 says, he told him, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Hear what Jesus says. When you finding the folk today, they go in the Bible and they search for scriptures from Genesis to Revelation and they write a little book. 300 pages, 200 pages, however long they choose to write. How much they choose to write the book, how large or how small. And they'll get with a lawyer, book promoter, and they try to figure how much money they can make at selling the book at a certain price. What did Jesus then say to the disciples? Freely you have received, freely give. They will not give you one of those books for free, but they love the Lord. They will not give you one of those CDs. I've been in church building where the service was fantastic, the singing, the praise, and all that stuff. And the preacher would get up and say, look, I got some books and I got some CDs in the foyer. Don't forget to go there and purchase some of my CDs and some of my books. Person want a book, want a CD bag. I know one time I want them because I really want to get one of the CDs in the book. I couldn't get it. I didn't have no money. I didn't have any money. And the people at the desk said, well, you got a credit card. You got this. They had everything. Of course, they got a little thing that sticks on the phone, a little plug-in thing. And they can swipe your card, and you pay the ticket. Now, Luke chapter 10, and verse 9, Luke chapter 10. We got to give this thing away. That's the only way we're going to be able to keep it. Give it away. Jesus said the life you try to save is the life you will lose. But when you lose your life for him, the life will be saved. Hallelujah. Listen, Luke chapter 10, and let's see if verse 9 will work for us here. Just browse through here. He told them, 10 and 9, he says, to heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of heaven is come nigh unto thee, unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of that same, the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, but you are sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto thee. Listen. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Those that don't receive you, those that don't receive you as the child of God, as the minister of God, when you're preaching the truth of God, it'd be more tolerable for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city because you're preaching the truth and they reject the truth. Some folk don't want the truth. Listen, I got a couple more things here I want to give you and get over here. We've got one, two, three scriptures. Three. Let's put four on that side. No. Isaiah 35. I need somebody to prepare to preach. If the Lord say the same on Wednesday, I'm not going to be here. I got to go to this job and get my this evening or tomorrow, because this weather's still coming. get my hand truck because I got to move my granddaughter back to college on Wednesday. So we will be ministering, whoever minister, will be ministering while I'm on the road. Isaiah 35, verse 4 to 6. Let's start at verse 3. He says, strengthen, let's start at verse 1. The wilderness and the salty place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. He wants us to help those that are weak. Support those that are needy. This is what God is saying. He says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. God is coming and he's got a reward with him. I want you to know that. So if we live right and do right, we're going to be rewarded. And if we live wrong, we're going to be rewarded too. Because every man is going to be rewarded according to his works, according to your actions. So here, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Verse 6 says, then shall the lame man leap as the hart or deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Verse 7 says, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each layer shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Now there's going to be a astronomical change that's going to take place when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords show up, when he returns. He says, and highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the way of fearing men. The fools shall not err therein. Listen. You see, the ones that really fear the Lord going to be able to cross over on that highway. But the fools and the ones that mock the word of God, they're not going to be able to come in there. They can't enter in. No land shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up there on. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you know that you're redeemed, that's your hallelujah place right there. That's your place to sing hallelujah. Because the God of all ancestors says that we'll be able to walk on that place that he has already placed, prepared for us to walk on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he said, the ransom of the Lord shall return. Hallelujah. Those that he shed his blood for. Glory to God. That those that repent and turn their lives over to him, those that submit and commit to him, going to be able to return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Hallelujah. There ain't going to be no more mourning, no more dying, no more crying. Listen to me. Let me go to Luke chapter 7. Let me give you one more verse here, and then I'm going to give you a quick thing here, and we're going to get it. Oh, my God. Luke chapter 7. I love the word of God. Word of God is so energizing. Just fill your spirit. Luke chapter 7. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 20 to 22. Luke chapter 7, 20 to 22. Glory to God. Here. When the men were come unto him, to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that shall come, or look we for another? Now they go to Jesus asking him. So John sent us to you. And to ask, John's in prison at this time. And they're asking now if he is the one. or should they look for another? For the Jewish people are still looking for the Messiah. He came, eat and drink among them, preach and taught among them, prophesied among them, heal among them, and they're still looking for him. Came and gone and coming back again. They're still looking for him. And verse 21, and in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Verse 22, then Jesus answered and said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. My God, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And verse 23, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Listen to Jesus. That just sent chills through my body. He said, go tell John what you have seen and heard. And then he gave them a whole layout, a blueprint, like they didn't see. He said, he told them everything. Glory to God. He said, go tell John all this thing that happened, what you saw and what you heard. And he rehearsed that thing back into the hearing that didn't have no, could not error. Now I want you to understand that John the Baptist baptized, but he didn't perform no miracles. And I want you to know that Jesus didn't baptize, but he performed miracles. That John the Baptist preached of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the apostles preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In John chapter 1, verse 31, let's go there. I've got four more scriptures to give you, and I've done, for real. John chapter 1. And I got this. These just quick. John chapter 1 and verse 31. Listen what John says. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest up to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. John said he didn't know him. He know he's coming, but he didn't know him. Because the Father told John that he was coming. He said, prepare the way for my son. Make the way straight for him. But when he was coming, by the Spirit, John recognized him coming. God saw him, said, behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. He saw him. Now, John chapter 4 and verse 2. And he must needs go through Samaria, Jesus. He's going to go to the places, the very places that he told the disciples not to go. He's going to go these places. Do you hear me saying? A lot of times we don't want to go places because we don't feel that the people are good enough to receive what we have to say. I guess there's a better statement I can make there, but we feel like they're not worthy. Yes, they're not worthy of what we mean to say. Remember, he told them don't go to the Gentiles and don't go to the Samaritans, but guess what he says? He come here, and John is saying that he has needs to go through. He must go through Samaria. The very place that he told them not to go, he's going to go. And he's going to preach the truth. He's going to preach the truth to them. Because they must hear the truth. It's only the truth that you hear and the truth that you receive that will make you free. Hear what I just said. The truth that you hear and the truth that you receive that will make you free. This is why we have to preach this message of repentance so people can be free from their sin, from their habitual sinning, their iniquity. Because we got to let them know if they continue in sin that they will die. Soulfully death. Hallelujah. Not a flesh death, but a soulful death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, John chapter 10 and 41. John chapter 10, then we got one more scripture. John chapter 10 and 41. Glory to God. He says, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of, this man was true. Verse 42 says, and many believed on him there. Remember I told you, John did no miracles, but everything that John talked about Jesus, that Jesus would do, were true. Jesus baptized no one, but he performed miracles. He healed, he delivered, he opened blind eyes, he unstopped the deaf ears, and he raised the dead. John didn't do that work. He just prepared the word. And Acts 2 and 22. Acts 2 and 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Listen to this word here. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him, whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Death had no power over him. Death had no power. Could not keep him in the grave. This is the one that we preach about every day. He says, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on the right hand, my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. You see, when you understand, when you see him in the spirit at your right hand represents authority, power, hallelujah, glory. He's at your right hand. You know that you are safe. You are safe. He is the one that's protecting you. Hallelujah. Ah, my God. He said, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer that Holy One to see corruption. Jesus could not stay in hell, and his body did not decay. I want you to see this. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. And Lord, I pray that many would hear this word, and as they hear this word, and they go and follow the scriptures, as we said, two scriptures we didn't give you, Daniel 2 and 44, 44 and 45, and Matthew 15 and 24. You can look up those scriptures for yourself, but I believe I got to stop right here. Just make it a habit of repenting and searching your own heart, your own soul. Not mine, not your brother, not your sister, not your son or daughters, but let us search our own souls and see if we are walking in sequence with the word of God, if we are being obedient to his commands. And then if we are, then show other people, let other people see what they need to do. Because if we're not walking it, other people are not going to walk it that we want to see walk it. Because they're going to call us hypocrites. You're saying one thing, we're saying one thing and doing something else. But we need to do what the word of God has called us to do. Live this thing. And we need to don't allow the enemy to cause us to gossip about each other. Because we can eat and we can fellowship and then talk about each other. And it doesn't allow us to get in. It doesn't allow us to enter in. Because gossip would hinder us. We have to don't allow that to happen. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We are all the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Doesn't matter what country you're in. You may be in a mud hut. You may be in a galvanized house without air conditioning, without heat. But God sees you the same way he sees me. He sees us as his sons and his daughters. And he just wants us to live holy, pleasing to him, that others might see the light shining through us and glorify the Father in heaven. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. Glory to God. We just thank God for this message and thank God for those that got a chance to come on today and listen to the word. You know, always got to get a word to put up there because somebody is waiting to hear a word. Glory to God. I thought I left my I couldn't find this card, the COVID card. I had it in Louisiana. I kept saying, I said, Lord, we just download a form to send to the government to get them to send me a new card. And I said, I'm sure I brought that card back, though. And I'm thinking, like, I leave it hanging on the bedroom door. But no, it was here all the time. And then the Holy Spirit told me, I said, look, move those stuff that you got over there. And I had moved them before. You know, some stuff, because we cleaned up the whole room, cleaned the drawers, and I put up bags and bags of receipts that I was saving for the years, never going to use them. And, I mean, had them in all the different drawers, you know, the bill from this, the bill from that, you know. But when you go back and start cleaning up stuff, the Holy Ghost have you clean, you find so much stuff. And then yesterday he told me, he said, look, go, that stuff you moved before, go back and move that stuff. And when I moved the stuff, man, the card was right there. I said, wow. Man, I was just so elated to see that the Holy Ghost knows everything. Don't ever underestimate the Holy Spirit. You miss something, take a deep breath and say, Holy Ghost, show me where this thing is. Show me where I put this stuff, where this stuff is coming from. Man, the Holy Ghost will show you this stuff. I find that card. I was so excited. I wanted to call Nancy and tell her, I mean, you know, the card. We don't got to send to the government to try to get that thing. Then they say, we'll take 6 weeks for them to get you a car. And they got to research everything about you. Because now they're getting ready, truly, truly. And they told me this when I got the vaccine. I wasn't going to get it, but I got the vaccine because of my mother-in-law. You know, she's 92 years this year. And now she's starting to forget everything now, you know. But they're going to want her to live as long as she can live. If she can live to 107, they're going to have her, you know. They'll never want her to go. You know, that's how kids are. You know, but I don't, if I get to 106 and I can't remember nothing, I ask the Lord to take me home. I ask God to give me 106 years old. If I live to 106 and I can't remember, I want God to take me home. If I can't preach, I can't teach. You know, I want to take me home. But they would keep her here for lunch. Thing. She don't forget. She forgetting stuff. And, but they won't want you to go by hers if you didn't have the vaccine. So I got the vaccine. And now they told me when I got the vaccine that they're going to be moving to this. And it's true. They're going to be moving. He said they're going to be moving to eventually that you're going to have a stamp in your passport unless the doctor give you a card saying that you had a sickness that you couldn't get a vaccine. But you're going to have a stamp in your passport that says in your passport or carrying the card with you, one to two. But that's where they're moving to say that you had been vaccinated because this stuff going to be around for a long time. The devil are using this stuff to kill the people. You know, it's sacrifice. It's a sacrifice they're giving. It's a universal sacrifice to the devil. And we thank God for you all. Praise God that you all heard something. I don't know if Bishop is able to bring a prayer of salvation. If he is, that's good. If he isn't, it's still good because we got the word in. I don't know if he's ready. He can. If you're ready, Bishop, you can bring a prayer of salvation for somebody to hear. And then we open the line. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Praise the Lord.
Beloved, I come to you humbly and urge you, please accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. So all I can do is pray for you and urge you, encourage you, because what man knows, when I say man, I'm talking about mankind, what man knows when his next hour is going to be. So take the opportunity. God gives us chance after chance after chance. Whatever sins you may have committed, whatever evil things that you may have done, repent now. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. For God gave us a way, and he warns us. He warns us about different things. He gave us a way, and the way is Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, Jesus is the only way. No matter what you may hear people say on TV, on radio, Jesus is the way. He is the only way is the only way to God. Jesus is our salvation, and he's the only way to the Father. We will not get to see God Almighty if we don't accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans 3, verse 23, it clearly states, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Hallelujah. Because simply we're made of dust. As Apostle said in his teaching today, or dust you came from and dust you shall return. And in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So there's the proof, people. There's the proof. Only through Jesus. Hallelujah. And in the book of Romans, confession is made beginning at chapter 10, beginning at verses 8 through 13. And the word of God says, "But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." That in the verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, or you will be saved, I should say. And you must say it out loud. The enemy can't read your thoughts. He can't read your mind. But he can inject thoughts. He can inject evil thoughts. Rebuke him and accept Jesus. Do it now. Say it out loud. Put it in the atmosphere. "I'm no longer with you, devil. I've repented of my sins. And my slate is clean now. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. But there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And listen carefully, shall be saved. The word shall is definite. The word maybe or will, you could change your mind. Please, I'm doing salvation prayer, please. I'm doing salvation prayer. Apostle, I'm doing salvation prayer. Hold it down, please. I'm almost finished. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 12, at verse 12, see, there's no other way, as I said. Verse 12, chapter 4, verse 12 of Acts, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be. No other name, only Jesus." Now, in the book of Acts, the next step, chapter 2, verses 38 through 41, and this is where people received Jesus and were baptized by Peter. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Now, once you say that salvation prayer, that prayer of salvation, except to Jesus, you must repent. And repentance is not returning to the wicked, evil things that you said or did prior to accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, you are clean. If you've made that confession out loud, you're free of sin. Your sins have been forgiven. The act of baptism is an outward sign to let everyone who sees you get baptized or hears about you get baptized. It's an outward sign that you have given your life to Christ Jesus. And with many other words, Peter testified and encouraged them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. So join those 3,000 souls among all the millions who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And do not return to the evil things of the world. It's not worth it, because that's it. Once you cross over, then there's no repentance. You see, you can't be unforgiving. You can't, you know, say, well, hey, I'll think about doing this. No, do it now. I urge you to do so. Now, if you don't have a Bible, I suggest you get one. There are several good Bibles. You can read daily one of the Bible of your choice. The King James Version, it has a lot of these and thous and thou art and thine and, you know, saith. And, you know, it's in old English, you know, but the more modernized Bible, they didn't change the word of God. They just changed the words that we can understand, you know, much better in our modern day culture. There's New Living Translation, the New King James Version, the New Living Translation. The Locals Bible and the English Standard Version and American Standard Version, hell, modern day English, so we can understand this. So I would say get an NLT Bible. That's one of the most popular ones. But anyway, with your choice. But every day, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you where He wants you to read. Read a scripture or two. Ask the Holy Spirit to decipher what He's saying in the Word, and it should be made pretty clear, because, you know, the words that we use in our modern day language, you know, it's pretty easy to, you know, define what it is. But the Holy Spirit will assist you, you know, and tell you. It could be an audible voice that will tell you, or it could send someone to come along and call you and discuss something that you may have been reading. So God bless each and every one of you. Invite someone to your baptism. By doing so, you could lead a soul into the prayer of salvation by just bringing them, to, you know, inviting them to your baptism. And this could be anybody, a stranger on the street, an enemy, family members, co-workers, whatever it takes. You know, hey, I'm getting baptized on Sunday or Saturday or Tuesday, whatever day you can get baptized. Invite somebody. So God bless each and every one of you. Welcome back home, brothers and sisters who have, you know, decided to rededicate their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And welcome new believers, new Christians in Christ. God bless each and every one of you. And looking forward to hearing you on Block Talk Radio. If you feel that you can preach, or you want to preach, you want to say something, get in touch with the Pastor Calendar, and he'll allow you. You know, he'll allow you to do so. God bless you, and bless your family. Be careful. Don't forget to wear your mask, and stay your social distances away from others. This is very serious, this pandemic that we're under. So, God bless each and every one of us, and have a blessed and prosperous day today in the Lord. Apostle, it's back to you.
Thank you so much. Tell Apostle Millie that I got her package. I got 6 things that I'm sending to her. And if it's not, depends on how the weather is tomorrow, I'll get out to the UPS and send it to her tomorrow.
Okay. I sure will. Sure will. We'll let her know.
So thank you so much. Thank you so much for that prayer, salvation.
Praise
well,
God.
The line is open. If anyone want to respond to the repentance message, and the line is open. Well, we bless the name of the Lord Jesus for you all that came on and heard the word. And a few people on the line. Nobody responsive, Sister Anna. We thank God for you, Sister Anna. We pray, God, for you, that your God will strengthen you with the loss of your family member in Italy that died from the COVID. She got the injection, and after she got the injection, she died. We just pray that God will strengthen all the family members that are dealing with that right now. So it's very hard to really deal with the loss of a member. We pray God's strength for each and every one of us, his keeping grace and keeping mercy upon each and every one of our lives. And Father, we just thank you and praise you, God, for this day. Thank you for the message that you gave us. Lord, we ask that you speak to us continually. Allow us to hear from heaven. God, we ask that, Lord God, that you strengthen us, protect us, keep us a shield, a hedge around us as you had around Job. Oh, God, we ask your healing power on Deacon Fraser's sister and brother-in-law, Lord, from his father. Lord, we ask that you continue to watch over a bishop and an apostle and a bishop and an apostle, Washington. Lord, for Apostle Jefferson and her sister and daughter. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you continue to watch over all of our children, all of our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Lord. Father, we ask that you continue to saturate the earth realm with your glory, with your presence, oh God. Father, we recognize that the enemy is moving at the speed of light, but Lord, he still can't move as fast as you can move. We pray, God, that you keep him in control like a rider hold the reins to the horse, Lord God, that it can only go so far, Lord. We pray today in the name of Jesus that you would touch this president of the United States of America that's doing everything that he can do except what's good. Lord, touch the Congress and the senators and the magistrates, touch the governors, oh God, and all of those that are in control, Lord God. God, we pray, Father God, that you would move by your spirit, God, and begin to, oh God, saturate the atmosphere, this earth realm, that men and women would come to you and bow down, oh God, in the heart of repentance, knowing that there's only one way. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through you. And Father, we are praying right now in the name of Jesus, the precious name of Jesus, that you go through the corridors of the hospital rooms, oh God. Go through the corridors of the hospital and begin to enter the rooms of all, God, those that are suffering from all types of infirmities, cancer, breast cancer, or heart problems, oh God, lung problems, kidney problems, liver problems, brain problems, eye problems, oh God, ear problems, whatever infirmity they have, Lord, you are the one that can destroy. You are the one that can cause every infirmity, oh God, to be cast back into the pit of hell where it came from. Father, for we know that it did not come from you. For you said, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God, we thank you today. Oh, my Father, my Savior, my Redeemer, my soon coming King, we thank you for healing. Touch Bishop Washington's daughter. Touch her right now, Lord God. Lord, we ask you to, oh God, consume every infirmity that's in her body. Lord, burn it up with your mercy and your grace, your healing balm of Gilead. Lord, we ask you to touch Prophetess Misha, Lord. God, you said that she shall not die but live to declare your works. And we believe you. We take you at your word because you are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. Lord, if you said it, it shall come to pass. And we believe that you have said it. You have spoken to us. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. The doctors are saying one thing, but what are God saying? God say you shall live and not die. You got to take that word, not the word of the doctors, but take the word of the Lord. Father, we just speak it into the atmosphere right now. And, Lord, we pray for strength, oh, God. Thank you for Sian, Lord. We thank you for Sian. We thank you for the supernatural favor that you're giving her, that you're raising her up to be a mighty woman of God. Oh, God, she's finances, she should prosper in everything that she do, Lord. She and her husband should have a great outcome. Lord, she shall buy homes. Lord, I see her buying homes and turning over homes. Lord, I see you doing great work for this young woman. Lord, she is a giver. She just loves to give. She just loves to do kingdom work. Even the she's doing kingdom work and not realizing she's doing kingdom work. She's always giving, always reaching out to help, always reaching out to lend a helping hand. She's not like the Levite and the priest that cross over on the other side. She would go out of her way to help somebody in need. Father, I ask you right now to meet her at her point of need. Touch her son that is so dear to her heart, oh God. Claude, Lord, we ask you to protect him. Put a hedge of protection. Oh God, protect even the dog, Lord. Lord, protect the little dog that she loves so much. God, we ask, protect everything and perfect that which concerns her. And Father, we pray for Darian right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we come back every trick of the enemy. Right now, we combat it right now. Every trick of the enemy that he using against these kids. Oh, Lord, we touch Peter right now. Touch Peter with the power of the Holy Ghost. Touch Peter with the power of the Holy Ghost right now, Father God. Touch him with the power, Lord. You can go in where no one can go. Lord, touch his heart. Touch his liver. Touch his kidney. Touch his brain cells. Oh, Father God, what they're saying, they have, he don't have, because you're the one who orchestrate everything, Lord. We ask you, O God, to heal his body, heal it from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Now, the other son over in Texas, O God, we ask you to touch him, touch his wife, touch his children, O God, their grandchildren. Lord, you, God, move by your spirit, God. God, stir up the gifts right now in the atmosphere, God, that men will begin to breathe and inhale and exhale, inhale the power, and exhale the power. God, that somebody can take a breath, a breath of the power. Lord, we ask you to anoint the atmosphere right now with the oil of heaven. Oh, God, God, bring change in the United States of America. Bring change in Africa, change in India, change in Brazil and Denmark and Holland. God, touch Syria. Lord, they're killing the people, the black people, the African people in Syria, and taking out the liver, the kidneys, and all that stuff while they're alive. God, they're taking them out, taking out the body parts while they're alive so they can put in somebody that got money. Lord, we pray today that you arrest these organ traffickers, oh God, and even the sex traffickers, God. We pray for our children in the streets, oh God, those that are in the streets that are homeless, oh God, that become orphans, oh God. We pray for you to send help, oh God, send help. Cause people to sow into their lives. Cause people to feed. Give them food to eat, oh God, and a place to rest, oh God. Father, we pray today that people will stop just trying to get higher and higher while other people are going lower and lower. Lord God, don't lift me up if I can't pull up somebody. God, lift me up when I lift up somebody else, oh God. I pray this day in the name of Jesus, Father, that you begin to, oh God, cause us to prosper in such a way, God, that we would have more than enough to give to those that are in need, oh God. Father, we ask you that you would open doors, send jobs, more jobs, more jobs. Lord, I know I'm getting older, but Lord, you give me the strength that I need to do the job, Lord God. You give me the, oh God, the wisdom to understand the knowledge to do the job, Lord. Send jobs that I'm able to help the poor, help the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, Lord. And God, as you bless you, the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Lord, we will do what you said to do, Lord. We'll do the kingdom work, Lord. We'll not just do kingdom talk. We'll not just have kingdom talk, but we'll do kingdom work. That you'll be glorified, the enemy will be terrified, and the body of Christ will be edified. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the words you speak today in somebody's ear that will stop them from committing suicide, stop them from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That means that all the attributes that Jesus put out, his characteristics, everything about Jesus should be seen in our life, in our walk, in the way we treat people, the way we talk to people. And then the Father will be glorified because people will recognize that we are the children of the Most High God. I love you guys so much, but God love you more. Have a blessed evening. Watch your ball game if you're watching the ball game. And enjoy your day. And I will talk to you all. Somebody let me know who preaching tomorrow. Oh, if I got to bring another word tomorrow, somebody let me know, Apostle Bishop.
Apostle Miller tomorrow. Apostle Miller tomorrow. And Apostle Linda Wednesday.
Okay. All right. So God bless. God bless.
He's got to work tomorrow. So right, Apostle, you got to work tomorrow, right?
No, I'm not working tomorrow, but Apostle. Possibly bring the word tomorrow. I'll bring the word on Tuesday.
Oh, okay. you have to work Tuesday?
No. Wednesday, I'm going to take Samara to college.
Right. Okay. And
no, I'm not going. I'm not going back to that job till about Thursday or so, because we're waiting for an electrician to put a sub panel inside the house. They got to put a sub panel. They don't have enough power for that unit. So she called an electrician to put a sub panel in. But my work is actually done.
All right. No. Let's go do Monday. You're going to do Tuesday, Pastor Calendar. That's what you said. And then we're going to do Wednesday because you're bringing Samara back to school. Okay.
And let Pastor Millie say if the weather's not bad tomorrow, I'll get out to send her package to her, okay?
All right. To Millie, yeah. See if we can get out tomorrow if the weather's not too bad. All right. Okay, Apostle.
God bless. Love you much. Bye-bye.
All right. Have you too.